live your life or how a life should be lived. My beloved boss, Jim Duvall, went to Spirit several weeks ago. And if the world had several billion people more like him, the world would be a better place. This was a man who loved his family. I should say loves. I'm going to keep him in the present tense. His faith and his profession. He led by example, and he lived the golden rule. He was a devout Catholic, but had many of our spiritualist principles in his life. His mother, Jean, made sure all five of her children, four boys and a girl, who were raised in the funeral home where I now work, could cook, clean, sew, and type. So his learning experience started early. He met his wife, Natalie, when she was 15 and he was 16. After his service in the Navy, he went to mortuary school, came back to D.C., and the rest was a love match. While in the Navy in Philadelphia, he made extra money by sewing patches on uniforms for the guys who didn't know how to sew. His job as a typist kept him close to home and gave him some interesting insights into the Navy. When Jim and Natalie got married, they bought a Sears house, thinking it would be a good starter home. And they're still there. They're in the same house, and Jim, with his puttering, has done a lot of work to it. When Natalie was pregnant with their first child, Anthony Gerard, the doctor told them to enjoy him because he would probably be an only. Faith. Natalie and Jim prayed to St. Gerard, the patron saint of women who are pregnant or who wish to get pregnant. They had five children in 7 years. All four boys have Gerard as their middle name. Faith. It was a marriage of two friends and lovers. They both worked and had a schedule so they could be home with the kids. And I have to say, with the funeral home schedule, it's so erratic that they were lucky they can work something out. This is where his cooking and cleaning came in very handy. They call Natalie the white tornado because she's always behind you cleaning up. But Jim was there pitching in. And this is what he passed on to his children. Their daughter, Karen, the only girl, always talks about being driven to high school in the funeral coat. But Jim had a garage and had a place to keep the funeral coat. You don't keep a piece of equipment like that in an alley in Georgetown. So it was kept at his garage, and lucky Karen got a ride to high school every day. This high school happened to be Visitation Prep School, where Jim and his identical twin John had served Mass for the nuns all through grade school and high school. Jim even continued on after he was first married. Jim and John would serve Mass at Visitation Convent. He fed breakfast. Then go to the Good Shepherd Convent and serve Mass for the nuns there, and have another breakfast. The kids weren't too dumb. All this before school started in the morning. It was a very important part of their lives. His faith means the world to him, and he imparted this to his children. He led them by example. To be of service to others. Four of the five children are married, and between them, they have 12 children. Jim loves his family and his grandkids. He taught by example. There are always dogs, cats, rabbits and birds in the house. And his kids now carry on the love of family and pets. And all of his children cook, sew, and clean. He would go on vacation and bring his parrot to the office to be parrot sat while he was gone. And so you had a nice, quiet funeral home. The doorbell rings, and the parrot yells, "Hi, Spotted." The phone would ring, and the parrot would yell, "Hello." And you're trying to very politely answer the phone to the funeral home. The back ring goes, "Hello, hello." Here's the parrot. But we all loved Digger. We loved when Digger came to play for 2 weeks. Jim, John, and Bob, their older brother, all went into the family funeral business. By this point, their brother Raymond had been struck and killed by a drunk driver, and their sister Betty never wanted to go into the business. Until Jim died, people will still call the boys, Jim and John, twin, since they were so alike. I mean, I've been there 24 years, and it took me probably 5 to figure out who was who. Their love of funeral directing was obvious to the hundreds of families they have served. This was another way of leading by example. I never saw Jim or John angry. Frustrated, yes, but angry, never. Gratitude was always in the front of their minds when they ran the funeral home. Gratitude that people put their loved ones in their care. Gratitude that he could do what the family requested. Jim and John took a huge leap of faith when they hired me, the first non-Duval and the first female. And I will always be grateful to them for seeing my potential as a funeral director. It's been a pleasure to work with the family and to learn from the family. Here is an example of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There was never a job to be done that they would not do, from cleaning the bathrooms to vacuuming the parlors. Actually, we fight over who's going to vacuum because then you don't have to answer the phone or the door, so we always everybody wants to vacuum. The family was always fair. With our hectic schedule, they always made sure you had a chance to have coffee and breakfast in the morning. And granted, it could be in the funeral coach on the way to the funeral, but you're still having your coffee. Get back, grab your lunch, and be ready to meet the family for the afternoon visiting. We get back about 1:30, family would be walking at 1:35, so it's a little hectic. In between making arrangements, receiving flowers, casket deliveries, and answering the phone, it was just constant motion from 8 in the morning till 9 at night. No matter how hectic everyone was, always polite, they were always polite. And even when annoyed, they never lost their temper. His motto was, "We are here to bring a little light into the family's life at their low point." It was about the family we were serving, not about us. And serve was the word. Even as his children joined the firm, they were never given special treatment. This was a man who made his own happiness and lived his life by that principle. He felt he was responsible for the welfare of the family, and he made sure they were treated with all the respect they deserved. Every family was made to feel special. We only have one chance to get a funeral right, and that was his goal. There is never time to be negative, but always time to direct our thoughts to the greater needs of the family. Because of his extraordinary personality and kindness, he became a second dad to some of us, or a substitute dad to those who did not enjoy a great role model. Whether it was discussing extra car insurance, buying versus renting, going back to school to study, He always listened and offered advice when asked. He loved to putter around and always had good advice on house projects, how to remove stains. He'd even refinish small tables for you if you'd bring them in. He just loved to putter. When not at work, he spent his off days at Bethany Beach. Never went to the beach, but loved going down there to his beach house to relax and putter. He lived across the street from his church there, and he was always so proud that he never missed a Sunday Mass. Even when on vacation, he and Natalie would always go to church. He just goes down to the beach to meet friends for lunch or dinner, but never wanted to retire there. He wanted to stay in the funeral business. Just in the last several years, Natalie would spend the entire summer at the beach. And on Thursdays, we'd tell Jim, leave, go to the beach. Don't wait till noon on Friday, which was technically the time he could go. Now I am so glad he took the extra time and got to enjoy his beach house. He never felt he wanted to leave and take extra time off that we weren't allowed to take. This is what we, as spiritualists, are taught. That as we sow on earth, we reap in the life to come. He was always fair and honest. Then disaster struck. Once again, Jim was having back pain. Not a news flash. Ethel had several surgeries for slipped disc and a herniated disc. Almost 3 months after the pain started and nothing was helping, they finally diagnosed fourth stage lung cancer and a tumor. That's fine. So at least now he knew what he was dealing with. The chemo, the radiation stopped. But I think we all knew there was no going back. The cancer was too far advanced. When he met with the oncologist, he was gracious enough to tell Jim what a good reputation he had and how well-respected he was in the community. So 9 months of treatment, no improvement, and Jim wants to go back to the beach. He spent several weeks there, and the seizures started. Back to D.C., try the radiation. One day of radiation, he said no more. Now, as spiritualists, we know, and here I quote the Spiritualist Manual's Interpretation of Principle 4, life here and hereafter is all one life, whose continuity of consciousness is unbroken by that mere change in form whose process we call death. So on to hospice. This is just so ironic to me. He's in the same complex, Washington Home. Many of you might know it in D.C. It's a wonderful facility. But his dad had spent 12 years there in the nursing home part. They had cut his nerves because the arthritis was so bad, and he was frozen in one spot. So Bob, Jim, and John, they take a turn one night. They go up and they shave him, brush his teeth, comb his hair, make sure he got to bed, talk about the office, what was going on, what families had been in. For 12 years, they did this. The guy never had a bed sore in 12 years. Let's talk about the quality of care he got. But it was so ironic that Jim was going back to his complex. So, as funeral directors, we thought pretty much we knew what was in store for the family for the next couple of days. He entered the facility on Tuesday and went home to Spirit on Monday morning. And we were really surprised he made it that long. I got to sit with him Friday, and knowing that the hearing would be the last to go, I sat and talked to him about seeing Jeff, his beloved dog from childhood. Bim, John, and Jeff were famous in Georgetown for their stunts and thing. I mean, they would get on their bikes and ride to Glen Echo for the day on a Saturday. You couldn't do that now. and that, and everybody knew him. But they said, with all their friends, you never had to worry if you did something bad, because by the time you got home, the beat cop or the neighbors would have already told your parents. So they knew that they could just go out and do what they wanted, because they're going to be ratted out anyhow. So, like I said, I spent 45 minutes talking to him about Jeff, seeing Bob and Raymond, his brothers. And Bob is the reason I had my job. He died of mad cow disease. So that was a real blow to the family, trying to discover how he had gotten it. And Jim had always been a blood donor. And after they found out his brother had died of mad cow, he couldn't give blood once a month like he used to. And that he was very proud of that. I said, you know, his parents, Gene and Tom, would be there waiting. And I kept talking about going to the light. Of course, hospice patient, they're just sort of laying there looking, their eyes are even open. And it was interesting because the chaplain would come in to make sure he got ice cream or soup. And they were just so nice to him up there. He kept talking to me how he's going to leave his earth suit behind and go back to spirit. And it'd be a mere change of condition. And that's why I'm trying to leave this in the present tense, because I know he's with us. So, for those of us left here on the earth plane, to quote C.S. Lewis, I say, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. I know that the spark of divinity dwelled in Jim and in all of us. He was such a good person. He was true to himself, his faith, family, and profession. Dr. Seuss says, today, you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. As I said in the beginning, the world would be a better place for more people like you, who lead by example, who live by the golden rule. He made his own happiness as he obeyed nature's physical and spiritual laws. Thank you.